The words of God given to us today are from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Amen. First, I pray that the grace and peace of Christmas will be full in everyone's homes and workplaces. And I especially pray that the Lord's blessings and the loving hand of the Lord will always rest on the children of each family in every part of their lives. Ah, a monster! A child who was sleeping in bed screamed in surprise after seeing a monster coming through the closet door. There is an animated film released in 2001 called Monsters, Inc. It tells the story of the Monsters, Inc., a huge company in Monsters World that uses children's screams as energy. Every night, the company would send monsters through doors in children's, closet doors in children's rooms to scare them and collect their screams. And that scream energy was what kept the monster's world running. However, any contact between monsters and children was strictly forbidden. The CEO of Monsters, Inc. said this to the monsters: "There is nothing more toxic or deadly than a human child. A single touch could kill you." So whenever they went to scare children and make them scream, the first thing they had to do was to shut the door to the monster world. They believed that if a child ever came through that door into Monsters, Inc., the monster world would collapse. And because of this, the monsters were afraid to go into children's rooms. But without children's screams, there was no energy for their world, so they had no choice but to go. The top scarer in the company was this monster named Sully. Sully had blue fur, stood over 2 meters tall, and was very big, but he had a warm heart. His best friend and co-worker, Mike, was a small green monster with only one eye. Mike managed and kept a record of the closet doors of the children Sully visited. These two monsters were considered the pride of the company because of their excellent performance. But over time, the company's energy collection kept dwindling and getting worse, and the monster society began to feel an impending crisis because of the energy running low. On television, they announced, "We know the challenge. The window of innocence of children is shrinking. Human kids are harder to scare." Energy newspapers also reported the situation with headlines like, "Scream shortage looms," and "Rolling blackouts expected." At that time, Sully's rival, And number two energy collector, Randall, was secretly developing a new device to frighten children and drain energy out of them. He was even planning to kidnap lots of children to fill the energy shortage. Randall was a lizard-like monster with eight limbs, and he could change the color of his body like a chameleon. Mm-hmm. One day, while Sully was working late, a two-year-old girl named Boo entered the monster world. Since the contact with children was strictly forbidden, Sully was very shocked. But Boo trusted and followed Sully around, and he struggled to hide her. At first, Mike also saw Boo as a dangerous being and stayed on guard. But he eventually opened his heart to her innocence. Sally and Mike tried many ways to send Boo back to the human world. However, Randall tried to kidnap Boo and use her in the device he had made. As they moved through countless doors, a chase broke out between Sally, who was trying to protect Boo, and Randall, who was trying to take her away. In the end, Sully protected Boo, but because of the rules of the monster world, he could not stay with her. So, holding back tears, Sully sent Boo back to the human world. But through it all, they discovered something very important. The energy that comes from children's laughter is far stronger, about 10 times stronger, than the energy that comes from children's screams. After that, Sully became the head of Monsters, Inc., and the company began to prosper again and be filled with children's laughters. Now, today's passage speaks about the one who gives true laughter and the one who gives eternal joy. The scene where an angel tells the shepherds about the birth of Jesus is very familiar to us. Now, these days, we rarely send paper Christmas cards. But in the past, this scene was one of the most common images depicted in cards. The text also appeared very often in Christmas plays performed in church schools. Because of this, the passage brings comfort to us and makes us feel warm. But if the Jewish people at that time read today's passage, they may have frowned or even cried out in shock. They might have said, "Why shepherds of all people?" or mocked the image of Jesus being worshipped by shepherds. Shepherds in those days lived at the very bottom of society. They are likely to have lost their own land and sheep to landowners or creditors, and now had to work by herding other people's sheep for just enough pay to survive. Unless it was a matter of survival, there was no reason for them to be out in the fields on a cold winter night. Their masters used them not only to tend livestock, but also for housework and for personal errands. Even so, for them, having work at all was something to be grateful for. The reason their master sent them out in the fields was that they were considered unfit to work as servants inside the house. Because shepherds had to move from place to place to find grass for animals, they could not settle in one location. And because of this, they often did things they would never dare to do in their own hometown, where they were known by others. The shepherds often acted as if there was no distinction between what belonged to them and what belonged to others. Or at least one of the bad rumors about the shepherds at the time was that shepherds do not distinguish between what's yours and what's mine. They lived as if nothing they needed could become, anything that they needed could become their own as long as they were not caught by the owner. And because of such behavior, they were not allowed to testify as witnesses in court. And people believed that since their lives were dishonest, their words would also be lies. So shepherds were also considered religiously unclean. And because they had to stay in the fields to care for livestock, they could not keep the Sabbath, which Jews considered extremely important, nor could they observe various religious festivals. They often went without bathing for months, so their bodies were not clean. On top of that, they slept on the ground with animals, and their bodies gave off a strong, unpleasant smell mixed with the scent of animals. So much so that people with weak stomachs would turn away. Jews regarded them as unclean and despised them for not following religious practices. And as a result, shepherds were seen as people rejected not only by society, but also by God. And many of them came to believe that themselves. It was to these shepherds treated in this way that the angel of the Lord came. This is from today's text. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. When the angels of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, their great fear was a very natural response. They believed that for someone like them, despised by others and unable to keep the law, the only reason the angel of the Lord would appear was to bring punishment. And yet, the glory of the Lord shone all around them. The phrase shone around comes from the Greek word peripateo, which means to stay around or to walk around. This does not mean that the light of the Lord's glory happened to shine somewhere and the shepherds were there by chance. It means that the light shone specifically where the shepherds were, surrounding them at the center. Like a spotlight shining on actors standing on a stage, the light was focused on the place where the shepherds were. This is from verse 10 to 12 of today's text. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." This is really a mysterious thing. God chose to make the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior, sent for all humanity, known through shepherds, people who were considered the most despised and the least religious at the time. If we were to compare this scene to the Joseon dynasty in Korea, it would be like the future crown prince who would one day become the greatest king being born, and the news being first told to butchers, and this news spreading through them. Octavian, the adopted son of Julius Caesar, defeated his political rival Antony and finally unified the Roman world. The Senate gave him the title Augustus, meaning the revered one. And he became the first emperor of the Roman Empire. Not only that, he declared his adoptive father, Caesar, to be God. And he himself, as a son of a god, also claimed to be divine. Writers of the time competed to sing about the opening of a new age, a new era, and praise the greatness of Rome. People even called Augustus the savior of the world, and emperor worship began to take root. Compared to that, the baby Jesus lying in a manger looks almost pathetic. That baby had no political power, no military power, no economic power, and no academic authority. It does not even seem likely that he would gain such power in the future. We may even wonder what that baby could possibly do for us. But the angel of the Lord who appeared to the shepherds clearly declared what the good news of great joy was. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. At that moment, the angel was joined by a great company of the heavenly host praising God. This is from verse 14. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. The reason the coming of baby Jesus to this earth brings glory to God is because God showed in the highest way who he truly is by sending his one and only Son to give eternal life to us who are dead in our sins and failures. And the words, on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests, are additionally very deeply meaningful. At that time, people in the Roman Empire were drunk on the peace given by the Roman Emperor. They believed that peace would last forever. Later generations would call the next roughly 200 years the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. But God declares that true peace does not come from the Roman Emperor, but from baby Jesus, the Savior. Whenever a new ruler rises in any nation in the world, one of the things they emphasize most is peace. They promise peace through political stability, economic prosperity, or social harmony. But in all of human history, which ruler has truly provided real peace? Not a single one. Yet God clearly proclaims through the heavenly host that true peace can be enjoyed only through baby Jesus. This is from verse 10. I will read it again. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. When the glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds through the angel of the Lord, they were greatly afraid. But what the angel brought them was good news of great joy. The word great in greatly afraid and the word great in great joy are the same Greek word megas, meaning something extremely great. The reason the birth of Jesus became great joy for all people is that it was not simply the birth of one baby, but the coming of Emmanuel, God with us for all people. This is from Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from all their sins. This is from Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The baby whose name God gave through the angel was Jesus, the Savior. And that baby was also Emmanuel, God with us, God who is with us. So wherever Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God, went, the good news of great joy became real. Jesus was invited to a wedding in Cana of Galilee. But the wine ran out. That wine was not just a drink. It was the most important element that completed the wedding feast. When the bride drank the wine, it was a sign that she fully accepted the groom. Cana was not a large city like Jerusalem, but a small rural village. So finding more wine was not easy. And also, of course, wine requires time to ferment and it cannot be instantly made. That Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding in Cana as his first sign is meaningful. But there is another, even more deeper meaning. Marriage is called one of the greatest events in human life, a moment that should be filled with the most joy and celebration. Yet wherever people gather, no matter how joyful or festive it looks, problems exist, problems arise. In fact, there is no place where people gather that is without problems. But Jesus was there. Because Jesus turned water into wine, the wedding feast could truly become a feast. Just as the coming of baby Jesus into this world was a sign, Jesus being present at the wedding there became a sign. Where Jesus is, there is good news of great joy. Today is Christmas, the day we celebrate the birth of Jesus, who came as good news of great joy. By nature, we were originally people who had nothing to do with the good news of great joy, the news of eternal life. Jesus came to this earth to give great joy and eternal joy to people like us. And he entered into our problem-filled lives. Let us all welcome baby Jesus as the Lord of our lives now. Then, in any situation, we will receive the good news of great joy. Our entire year, 12 months, 365 days, every single day, will become Christmas. We celebrate and praise the birth of baby Jesus who came as our Lord. Merry Christmas. Let us pray. Father God, all of us want to live in this world enjoying great joy. Yet, we often think that we can have joy only if we hold on to more than others or gain something bigger. And we confess that many times we believe joy comes from sitting on a bigger chair or higher seat than others. We even fall into the illusion that the higher and bigger the chair we sit on, the greater our joy will be. But please help us not to forget that the good news of great joy can be given to us only by the Lord. If there is anyone who is suffering on life's journey because of big or small problems, problems that are hard to solve on their own, help them remember that those very problems are the signposts that lead them to welcome the Lord as the master of their lives. And are the Lord's grace meant to help them rely only on the Lord and make the Lord their only purpose? Thank you for allowing us to worship today as we celebrate Christmas, honoring and rejoicing in baby Jesus who came as good news of great joy. Help us always remember that it is not an emperor sitting on a throne and ruling the Roman Empire, but baby Jesus, wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger, who came to us as the one who brings good news of great joy. Help us all to make the Lord our purpose, and by walking with him, to always enjoy great joy and eternal joy. May our every single day become a Christmas filled with joy, thanksgiving, and hope. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.